Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, we are on the air live with Dr. Pat Allen, and we have some exciting news for you today. We have new classes that are just opening up, and we're really, really super excited. We're going to talk about them more during the show, but what I want to tell you is one is called Self-Esteem, and Dr. Allen is going to give a very special one-day class. It's going to offer in-depth information on self-esteem, emotional support, and other things of that nature. And we have a really amazing class called Growing Old Gracefully. And we're going to talk to Dr. Allen tonight about that in just a minute. I want to tell you, the Want Institute brings us here each and every week to be with you. Do you want to find out more information about the Want Institute? You can go to their website, wantinstitute.org. You can also find these products and signups for these classes at want.com. iStore.com. And of course, to sign up for our newsletter, go to www.drpatallen.com. So we are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Dr. Allen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm here.
Exciting stuff. I am hearing that you are going to have two new classes in the lineup.
Yes. I know.
Talk to me about this.
I'm looking forward to them.
It's so exciting. Tell me about the self-esteem class.
The self-esteem is based on the concept you have to be an I to be a we, to be an us. And too many people are raised by people, churches, governments, that want people to be we before they're I, or want to be us before they're I. And with that in mind, that totally takes the ground floor levels. You know, Freud was so good. He said, by the age of three, we've already got it made. We've right. already been cooked. If you go to any preschool, you can see the bullies, you can see the whiners, and you can see the little negotiators trading this toy for that one. So we are people that need to grow exponentially from previous to birth all the way to death. And so I am going to take us through all of the stages that have to be accomplished in order to have a successful life. And now I'm going to flip over to Growing Old Gracefully. I celebrated my 83rd birthday.
Woo! Yes! Last Thursday.
Yes. And the truth of the matter is I've, you know, I read somewhere lately that you're more depressed in your 20s and 30s than in your 60s and 70s. And I'm now realizing that if you've taken the time to do things like I'm teaching and other people are teaching in order to learn the lessons of how to live as an individual, to be a couple, to be a family or a unit, and to basically be grounded in your I-ness, then your we-ness, then your us-ness, you are going to live a great life, because I'm doing it right now.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. You are an advertisement for your very own class just by the nature of being.
That's exactly right.
Now, I understand you take the Kiersey temperament test in the self-esteem class.
Oh, you're not kidding.
How exciting is that?
So reputable. And I had the marvelous fortune of being in a program at Cal State Fullerton when I was doing my master's with Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey.
Oh!
Will please understand me. I was there. And that's part of the reason I'm a transactional analyst, is because I was with people that were teaching me and many others how to be successful individuals, companies. And Marilyn Bates died after Please Understand Me was written by she and David Kiersey.
Right.
When she died, David Kiersey then took the Myers-Briggs, which is a mother-daughter team that created around Jung's concept of introvert, extrovert, thinking, feeling, sensing. A mother and a daughter created the basics of the Myers-Briggs, and I got in contact with it in depth when we studied it at Cal State Fullerton in my therapy training program. So I'm going to administer it, and we're going to read temperaments, because you're born to your temperament.
That is so interesting that you say that. My dad used to call me as a baby. He said, you were an angel in the morning. You'd wake up smiling every day. He said, as opposed to your sister, who would wake up just angry and mad every morning. He said, it's so interesting how different you two are.
That's exactly right. You have different temperaments. And that's fine. That is totally fine.
So our switchboard is telling me we have calls. Are you ready to take some calls?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. Let me tell him that we are ready for calls. He's so excellent. He gets all the calls ready for us and gets everything set up. And
hey,
caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat Allen. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, I thank you.
You're welcome. Well, this past May, I did a telescript with you. And yes, it was really great. And I think
what was great
as a result, I had the most amazing summer. I think this was like one of the best summers of my life, because one of the things that
you were more yourself. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
When other people run your life, when other people teach you who you are, you end up a puzzle. I love Claude Steiner's book, Scripts People Live. Now remember, when you do a script in a movie theater, you're reading other people's lines. And that's what happens in life, unless you're careful or somebody like me brings you to the awareness, as Eric Byrne did, that scripts people live can be destructive. So what do you do to change?
I stayed out of my mind, and I was in my body.
You were in
and I went out in my body.
Instead of your intuition. Women are built neurobiologically, chemically, to follow their neurotransmitters, which reside in the gut. Men, do you know that men have 21 genes attached to their sperm cells in utero that enhance intuition? That's how he knows you're screwing around on him. He even knows where to go to catch you.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So today I'm calling to ask to talk about my son and get some direction.
I was a very young mom,
and I had my son when I was pregnant as a teenager, and my son is now 22 years old, and his father was a cocaine addict. He was 15 years older than I was, and so I left him when my son was around 2, and I had a really difficult life with my son because I had a really hard time being a mom, and my son was a very challenging kid. And at the age of 12, he got diagnosed with ODD, oppositional defiant disorder. And we haven't lived together for about maybe 5 years now. When he was a senior in high school, I made a really difficult decision to give custody to his father, because my son didn't want to live with me anymore, and he had been battling me in our home for about 3 years at that time. And so ever since then, or as a matter of fact, always, the way my son treats me is he seems to just want money from me and not really any other type of relationship.
How old is he now? How old
He's 22. He's 22.
He's not your son anymore. He's your relative. Once he reaches 18, he's not your son.
Yeah.
So please understand that whatever happened and however you did it, you launched him into individuality, and now he can decide if he's a girl like his dad was. Is his dad sober now?
Yes, I think he is.
Okay. Remember this. I'm a specialist in addictions, two of them being alcoholism and sexual addiction, which often go together, is that when men practice their addiction, whether it's the dopamine from sexual addiction or it's the norepinephrine from the constant sabotage of their life, you need to know that when you're an addict, you're going for your drug of choice, whether you make it or buy it. And so with that in mind, when men use mind-altering chemicals, they have a tendency to go into instinctive living instead of intuitive living, which means they do whatever they feel like doing without consideration of the price tag. When women use mind-altering chemicals, they use their intuition in favor of their instinct and do stupid things, particularly sexually, because somebody cons them, scripts them into doing it. So I give you permission to stop being his mother, which means no more enabling supermom. No more critical mom. Now you're going to be nurturing mom. Son, you have every right to ask me for some money. However, I'm not comfortable giving it to you because that's a sign of my disrespecting your ability to get your own money. So I wish you well, but no. No money.
You know, Dr. Pat,
do you understand what I just said?
Yes, I do. And thank you for saying that, because I do need to hear that. I feel like I don't do enough for him. And by enough, I really do mean by with money.
I want you to know his job is to get away from you. A woman's job is to attract her father or a man like a father figure to her so that she feels safe and protected. So I'm telling you, you are doing a good thing when you emancipate him into his own snake pit.
Two recent conversations I've had with him, one was I had just come back from a trip to California, spent a week there. I live on the East Coast. And when we were on the phone, he started complaining that he doesn't have enough clothes. And I felt that he was hinting at me to take him shopping. And
I said, go to the Salvation Army. Go to a charity organization and tell them your plight.
So, but what I did say was, you know, you have to budget your money. I said, you have to budget your money.
No, that's mothering. What you can say with my permission is, son, what can I do to help you do better? You can give me money. No, that helps you do, but not better, because what I'm doing is helping you be a woman, and I don't want to.
He'll say I'm being sexist.
I am being sexist, yes. I hate to mention it, but men are different than women. True.
Okay. So
whatever he says is probably going to sound like we're all equal. We may be equal, but we're not identical. Please hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
You're finished as his mother. You are now a relative. Do not call him son. Call him by his first name.
So what I'm doing now for him is this is his third attempt at college. The first attempt, he got academically dismissed because, to your point, Dr. Pat, he really did do whatever he felt like doing. He was like a marijuana addict.
Honey, I'm telling you, you're such, do you know that this is being recorded? It's being podcast. And that if you're clever, you can get a copy of it. And you can give him a copy of it.
So, Dr. Pat, the second time he went to college, he just dropped out because he felt like it.
His instinct told him. He wanted the pleasure, the dopamine pleasure of dropping out. The only problem is if you enable him doing that by giving. Do you understand that every time you rescue him, you set him up for the next rescue?
No.
Giving is masculine. Receiving is feminine. You are training your son to be your daughter. Is that really what you want?
No.
Then stop it. Be kind. Son, you have every right to ask me for money, but I'm not comfortable enabling you to be a woman. I really think you are meant to be a man, to do good, to feel good, not a woman, to feel good, to do good. So I'm going to feel good by allowing and supporting you becoming a man who does good.
Can I ask you, I am paying for his college now. He's back in college. And he has a job that reimburses him. So I paid the upfront college. Yeah, he's in a much...
Look, am I against parents paying for kids in school? No. I am against parents paying for kids that go to school and don't appreciate it by ruining it. If your son has gotten the lesson of do good to feel good, I totally support you in supporting him to finish his education.
Yes.
But if he breaks the rules of do good to feel good, you have my permission to drop him.
So I just want to tell you what he said to me.
What did he say? Really
I said to him, let me know what I could do to support you if you were deciding to go back to college. And so like this was like a month or so ago. I said, I'm happy to like put the money up front. And I know that your company reimburses you. And then the day, like on a Friday, he texted me when I was at work. He said, here's my password to my college account. You have to make the payment or I'm going to get dropped out of all my classes at 11:59 p.m. on Sunday. And what I didn't like about that it was zero business days notice, and I was in the middle of work at around 2 in the afternoon on a Friday, and I was really busy, and I couldn't get to it. He texts me first thing Saturday morning and says, hey, did you get the information? And I said, yes, I did. I'm on my way to a wedding and I can't pay attention to this today. And I really wish that you would have given me more notice. I don't feel that you're respecting me. And then he goes, I don't like the way you...
I don't feel that you're cherishing me in my workload. I don't want you to be respected by your son. Okay. I want you to be cherished by him. That's how he earns you respecting him.
Okay.
So what did he do with his problem?
So then he said to me, you know, I don't like the way you talk to me. I'm going to be really honest with you. I gave you, you knew that this was coming, so it shouldn't matter that I didn't give you any notice because you already knew that this was happening. And... yeah, so that's what he said to me.
How did he get out of his mess? What did he do?
I went ahead and made the payment across the next two to three days.
Was there a price tag? Was there a bad thing happening, or did you get it handled?
He really hasn't even really talked to me ever since, and I just don't understand why.
Did you maintain his attendance at school?
Well, he just started.
I know that, but did you maintain the contract with the school by paying them the money?
I paid him. I paid the money, yes.
Okay, then everything is fine. You did the thing you promised to do if he would go to school and graduate. Your son hates you. And you know the reason? Number
one. My son
does
what you said? He hates me?
He hates you for not being his permanent mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Freud called an Oedipal complex. It's when you're married to your son. In fact, there's a new book out, When He's Married to His Mom, by Adams. He wants to be married to you. He wants to be your wife. In order for you to pay for him, you have come up with a very good parental agreement, which is if you go to school and graduate and do what's right, and hopefully don't insult me too much, I will fund your education. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But what he's doing is punishing you for requiring him to be a man. He wanted you to let him be a woman like your husband, that you had, his father.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see? You have another man in your life now?
Not yet, Dr. Pat. I'm working on it.
Okay. You keeping your body in shape?
Yes.
Okay. You're just finishing the mothering of your son's education. Is that correct?
Well, my son and I don't live together now for about 5 years.
I know that. That's a wonderful experience that you're not living with him because he hates you right now. Now, hate is a feeling, it's an emotion, and it's not negotiable. When he's 35, 40 years old, he'll look back on your, quote, cruel behavior and see it's the reason he's a man if he makes it there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Well, Dr. Pat, he lives with his girlfriend and her parents. And
I don't care where he lives as long as it's not you.
Yes.
There's a wonderful book called The War Against Boys, where masculine mothers are treating their boys like girls and ruining their ability to be men, to give, to protect, to cherish, to compete, to conquer, and control. You see? So I appreciate you calling me so that I might say what I'm saying. In my new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, I go through all of the communication techniques from embryo to grave about subjects as we are talking here. So I'm telling you, please respect him before you cherish him.
So I'm not doing anything wrong?
I don't hear it now. I hear you educating him in exchange for passing grades and doing right. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I'm not, I don't
I
put money in his
hands. I do not want you to mother, what?
I don't give him money.
Okay. I want him to earn his keep so that he can build his self-esteem. If he's given money, he has no way to become a man.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Right.
Pat. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
It's interesting. I had a telephone conversation today about that very issue.
Did you?
Yeah, of women mothering their sons well beyond, you know, where you and I have discussed that, you know, 8, 10 years old, that these guys are, you know, in their 20s and 30s and their mothers are still mothering them.
I know that. That's castrating them.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, we are not available now.
Well, okay, callers, I want to remind you, if you call in, we may call you back. You need to answer that call, even if you don't recognize the number. And the number is 323-203-0815.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen live. Do you have a question?
I do. Dr. Allen, I want to ask you a question about my father. His health is declining. And
how old a man is he?
He is 70.
All right. Has he done his best to take care of himself?
Well, yes and no. I think he lost his will to live now. And I don't know if he's
going to make it. I understand that. What?
And my question is, at what point is it my responsibility to help him move to a care center where I don't know what to do because he lost his will to live. So,
well, what made him lose his will to live? Did he lose a wife or?
Yes, he lost his wife this year, and even prior to that, his health was declining so much that he told my stepmom, who recently passed away, that he lost his will to live. So the family's putting a lot of pressure on me as the oldest daughter to move him or do more. I am trying to be so respectful. My dad wants to stay at home, and I don't know how to support him. And I don't know if you have...
He obviously wants to go into hospice. You know what that is?
Yes.
And in hospice, they do their best to help people live to the best of their ability today. So you might want to investigate having someone from a hospice organization talk to your father.
Okay.
Does he have a specific condition that's making him not able to live at home?
Well, he had cancer a couple of times. He's overcome it, and now he just can hardly walk. I've hired caregivers to come part of the time, and I feel so guilty because I don't know what's my responsibility or, you know, I want to support his wishes, but his wishes right now is to sit in the chair and waste away.
I'm telling you, that's hospice.
Okay, I've got it.
So deal with the professionals in that area. Okay, it's a very good support system.
I so appreciate that. I will do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good.
Good luck.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Good luck, caller. That's rough. It's really hard. My friend, her father died, and then just several months later, her mother took ill and was gone.
That's
before
not
you
unusual,
knew it.
You know.
Yeah, I and understand
losing,
that.
Losing a spouse is one of the heaviest, depressing things that can happen.
Yeah, it was so terrible. She just went from like a real vital woman, and then I guess they had been married like 66 years.
Right.
That's like a serious long-term marriage. So
I know.
So that really also goes back to the class that we have, the new class we have, Growing Old Gracefully, Dr. Allen. And
that's exactly right.
And also, I think it's interesting, and I don't know if you go over this in the class or not, you know, preparing for that stage of your life where, you know.
I'm going to be doing that, and I'm going to particularly emphasize the system that separates hedonism from stoicism.
Mm-hmm.
And the book that I will recommend is The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, edited by Forstater.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. You see, the problem with hedonistic people is if they're not having fun, they won't support themselves.
Hey, you know what? I agree with that. And the thing is when my friend's father passed and then her mother just passed, it's just like 2 weeks ago, she messaged me and she said, I had plans to take my boat out on Lake Mead, but I feel really guilty because my mother just passed away 2 weeks ago. Does that make me callous if I go? And my reaction was, I didn't think it made her callous. She, you know, had been taking care of her mother since her father died. And I thought that it would be very restorative for her to go out on her boat, which she hadn't done since her father passed and she was taking care of her mother, to be able to renew in herself that bit of joy and fun she could take from the experience of taking her boat out.
That's right. And that's what Stoics do. Stoics do what's appropriate no matter how much pain is involved.
And she did tell me that she was having a good time. And then she had this sense
of
guilt.
But she felt guilty about having a good time when someone she loved. That's the reason, for example, when there's a suicide in the family, children particularly will be influenced. In other words, if you demonstrate suicide escapism,
mm-hmm.
which is part of hedonism, if my life doesn't go the way I want it to, I'm offing myself to stoicism. What can I do today to make my life and the lives of the people I love as good as I can, even if I'm dying?
Right. It was so interesting because she said on the third day of her trip that she was sitting out on her boat and she just started speaking to her mother. And
that's right.
And let it go, just telling her, I love you so much and I miss you. I really need this because I feel so dark without you. And it
that's
was so,
right.
It was so interesting because her mother had prepared for this eventuality. And I'm wondering, sometimes we don't want to face that. And in Growing Old Gracefully, I wonder if part of doing that is preparing for this eventuality.
Absolutely.
You know, choosing, palliative care or whether or not you want a DNR, who has your health care directive.
That's exactly right.
Because this woman's sort of in a position, her father's saying he wants to stay at home, but literally, if he's in a situation where he can't walk, that's not really, you know, she can't really allow that.
That's reality limiting.
So how do you...
We're talking about attitude limiting. And that is either... What?
How do you influence people to prepare that? It's very difficult for children to, you know, to talk to their parents about it. Oh, we got a call coming in. Let's take that. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. Thank you so much for taking my call, Dr. Allen. I love you guys.
Okay.
We love you.
So I have two kind of related questions. First of all, I'm having trouble dealing with my 47 to 49-year-old guys. So I think I'm the problem. I think first I want to ask, so I have a son, age 7, and men have been dating me. And during the courting period, I usually say that I don't intend to introduce anyone to my son unless I have an engagement ring or we know that it's going to be going somewhere solid.
That's right. Do not endanger children's stability by letting them fall in love with new mommies and daddies and then have them lose them. So please do not introduce your children to romantic dates before you are in a committed relationship.
So I've never introduced him to anyone.
Fine.
The thing is that now I have a question about whether what I'm saying to these guys makes them end up say yes to like a committed relationship, and then I have these nine-month-long relationships.
Have you had a committed relationship? Because that's when you introduce them.
Well, I mean, committed in the sense of, you know, the, like, you know,
monogamous, continuous,
yes.
And marriage bound.
Exactly. But I've had that, but still, I just wanted to feel like it was, I guess, be sure that it's going somewhere before I introduce him. And in each case, so in three different relationships over the last 7.5 years, they've kind of gone on for like 9 months, and then just when I think, like, I start feeling comfortable to start thinking, okay, maybe I'll introduce them to my son, and, you know, and I think we're going to have
that conversation.
Then it breaks up. Like, in each case, it's always gone to the point where I think, you know, I want to start, like, negotiating for, you know, that 9-month, 12-month negotiation period, and then it just goes south. I've had all these 9-month-long relationships with a wonderful man, and it always ends with, I don't think I can give you what you want.
Why does it end?
It always ends with, I don't think I can give you what you want, even though it's been, like, beautiful.
Well, what did you want? What do they think you want?
I want a family. I want to be married, but I haven't changed my song. I've always
said that. Do you want a convenient marriage? Do you want a codependent marriage? Do you want a covenant? What style of family? Do you want a nuclear family? Do you want a cellular family?
Well, so I don't want to have any more kids, and so I've always been very upfront about that, and I date men who already have a family or have their kids, and
all
they
right.
don't want to have kids anymore.
Well, I'm curious, in 7 years, the reason you don't have a boyfriend. Tell me the reason.
Well, I've had several boyfriends. Like, men date me. It's sort of easy for, you know, for me to accept dates. I am, in fact, a Pat Allen girl. I've been asked several times, like, are you from this planet? You know, the first 6 months are always, like, you know, they cannot believe that, you know, it's so easy to get along. And, you know, I'm very good at being, like, men, like, manly men. And so I don't
well,
actually know.
They get, I want to know what they get mad at.
I think once I start bringing up the, like, where is this going, kind of, you know, like, that negotiation talk. A couple of months ago, I broke up with you know, this 48-year-old guy. And so while I let him break up with me, I brought up the conversation, and he was like, you know, I'm enjoying this right now. Why do we have to talk about where it's going?
I want you to know something. When men marry, they take on responsibilities. When women marry, they give up a lot of independence. There are many, many men that do not want the responsibility. Marriages are going down and divorces are going up. So you right. have to find out literally before you have intercourse with them if they're open to negotiating a marriage within that year or not. Because if they're okay. not aiming towards getting married to somebody, you're not compatible.
So I guess my fear is that they're actually saying that up front, because I always kind of have that conversation up front. And my fear is that they're saying yes, but then like they say that because they know,
you know what?
It's going to be a long time before I even that. Want to introduce them. No.
Well, I'm still going to maintain, do not get your children involved with people that you're not engaged to.
Okay, so here's my related question. I agree and I accept that, and I have followed your teaching on that. So one of the reasons I'm calling is, so I recently, a man recently met me online. So it's not been a long time, like 6 weeks maybe, and so he lives in another state, which is very different for me. And he has invited me to come out there to like meet him, mainly because, you know, he's thinking if he comes here, he won't be like in control of the situation. Whereas if I go there, he knows where he can take me, what he can introduce me to, you know, kind of show me.
No, you won't take your children with you. How many children do you have?
I have one son. No, I would not
okay,
take him
one
with
son.
Me.
So he will not go with you to visit your boyfriend. Is that correct?
No, absolutely not. He's asked me
all right.
if I
then
find
what
care
I,
for my son.
I don't understand. There's something wrong with the way you bring them into your life.
Okay.
What is it? Do you not negotiate the time, space, money, and play? Have you read Getting to I Do?
I have. I've read Getting to I Do, and I've also
okay.
read Staying
right.
Married.
Mm-hmm. Good. Staying Married and Loving It. That's not in the stores, but it's in Amazon. Anyway, in the beginning, you've got to find out how they plan to do. The first 3 months, as you know, is when you're just getting to know each other.
Perfect.
The second uh-huh. is when you're getting to see what's wrong with each other. And the third 3 months is when you start negotiating time, space, money, play as a pre-engagement kind of thing. And then hopefully by the end of a year, you know whether you're compatible and whether you really can get engaged and work towards marriage. So do you...
So I think I'm pretty bad at negotiating.
What?
I must be pretty bad at negotiating.
Well,
right?
What do you do?
I've tried to make an appointment, and then, you know, I say, I'd really like to talk about something about our relationship and, you know, it's now a convenient time or when. And then
and
actually,
do they negotiate with you? Or is
well,
that when
actually,
they need you?
It is. Usually I get like a really, what I think is like a weird response, because I'm not anticipating them to have a negative response. And actually the last two people that when I really had wonderful months with them, and then asked for an appointment to talk, and then like literally during the conversation when they said yes to an appointment, then they just like blew up, and then was like, you know, I don't want to do that.
I'm afraid you live in a world. Where do you live? What state? What city?
I live in Santa Monica.
Okay. We in our culture are having difficulties negotiating good deals up front.
Yes.
And because of that, what I'm doing is I don't want kids to be damaged by poorly built premarital agreements. So keep doing what you're doing, but make sure that you've got a man that wants to marry and that you talk about time, space, money, and play, how you would do a house, a family, so that you can sort them out before it's you've shot a year of your life.
Right. So this most recent person that is dating me, and we haven't met yet. Do you think it's okay to like go to another state to meet up? I mean,
Wait a minute. You don't go where you don't go to a strange state. If he comes down, he goes to a hotel and you visit him in the lobby, wherever.
Okay. I can do that.
Don't risk your son loving him and then losing him.
Right.
Okay? When you're engaged, form the family.
Okay, I can do that.
Good.
It's just, and I guess I just wondered if you could say something, maybe even more generally than my own issue, but I've been dating like 47 to 49-year-olds, and I know you feel like they're coming off of the testosterone at this age. I'm finding it really hard to figure out when they need to be cherished and when they need to be respected, because it seems to me like
into the 50s and 60s. They're periandropause in their 40s. Peri, like we're perimenopausal.
So they should still be wanting to be respected.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Caller.
Hello.
So she may have been the victim a few times of the infamous or famous bait and switch.
Yes.
Please leave your message for 90941.
It was interesting because she said in the beginning that they are telling her they are marriage minded, but then as she gets down the road, that changes.
Right.
What makes that change,
exactly,
Dr. Allen?
Right. That's why I want her to talk about it, as part of their relationship, get to know each other. You've got to communicate.
I think one of the most important things is that she's right. Sometimes you'll say, well, this is what I'm hunting for, and they just want to date you anyway. So they say, oh, yeah, I'm marriage-minded, too.
Right.
Then you got to look for the red flags that say...
That's true.
Maybe not so much. Maybe not really marriage-minded at all, but, just sort of
right.
A player. And that's interesting, too, because as a single parent, I never... in my younger years, I was a single mom, and I wouldn't ever bring my children to meet any men I were dating for less than a year because there's no reason. It's very damaging.
Very damaging
to a child.
It's dangerous.
It is
dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Okay.
And we've got, is that us getting a call in? Let's see. Probably not.
Is my cell phone going off? Turn it off.
We're almost out of time anyway. So, Dr. Allen, what do you have to say to me tonight before we go?
Well, the way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Perfect. Hey, everyone, don't forget One Ice Store for those classes and for our products, including Dr. Allen's wonderful new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. And go to our webpage, www.drpatallen.com, and sign up for the newsletter. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.